This is Chow Time. I'm your host, Brian Chow. Season 1, Mushroom Monologues. Dear M, if I were to ever get a tattoo, I think I'd get one of a mushroom. Especially after if I finish a PhD. The project doesn't have to be mycology, but it should be mushroom related. The mushroom would most likely be a morel, and it would be on my upper right hand side of my body, below my shoulder, around the pecs area. Yeah. The morel is not like any mushrooms eaten in the culinary world. The morel is in the Ascomycota family, which has its own distinction from the Basidiomycota family, where you normally find the white buns or the crimines, portobellos, oysters, and the likes. You see, the morel is honeycomb in shape and has no gills. You won't be confused with a poisonous looking mushroom or shrooms, especially when requesting a tattoo. No mistake, the morel is a unique organism. Some people say the false morel looks like a morel, hence the name false morel, but I don't see the difference. I think there's a stark difference, but maybe I'm just used to looking at mushrooms to see the difference. I don't know. I'm not dying from any mycotoxins at this current moment, knock on wood. As you don't already know, I'm a fungal fanatic, and my logo is representative of my obsession. I'm going to cross that out, actually. Passion, I'd rather say. My podcast is about food in all its complexity, from the grand scale in its system to the scientific principles governing the cooking process. Chow Time looks at food through the lens of investigative journalism. And through the different seasonal experiences, you'll see what I mean. From this first season, you'll go on a journey to learn more about me and my fascination with the fungal kingdom. You'll get to know my quirks and thought processes. And from each season forward, we will explore different avenues of food. And in part, we will learn about cooking differences in cuisine styles, explore sound and its impact on our eating habits, or review food literature from a philosopher's, librarian's, and a scientist's point of view. I'm excited to share with you all that I have in store. But going back to topic of mushrooms, my fascination began when I was younger, much, much younger, like a wee little lad. I was born into a Chinese Vietnamese American household. My parents are both of Chinese and Vietnamese descent. I grew up with different cuisines that I thought was not so much fusion until I later learned it's technically, quote-unquote, fusion cuisine. A bowl of boom riel is equally as common as a clay pot of braised pork and eggs at the dinner table or the lunch table. I thought that was normal for any Asian American, just like I thought everyone loves mushrooms equally as much as I did. But my dreams, just like any other childhood beliefs, had to come to a crashing halt. Not everyone loves mushrooms. Some people hate mushrooms. Which is fine, I guess. I mean, there will be more mushrooms for me to consume. I was exposed to shiitake and whittier or enoki, white bun, king oyster, and cremonies at such a young age, and I grew to love them. It's nostalgia. And just like Bubba Gump has versatility uses for shrimp, I imagine many applications to mushrooms. You can fry them, stir fry them, saute them, bake them, puree them, dehydrate, add to soup, add on pizza, grill, boil, microwave, steam. You feel me? The last meal I would want to have would be a well-cooked mushroom. The texture of chewing on a mushroom is juicy. The umami and earthy flavor combinations brings me to my happy place. That's how much I love mushrooms. I recall a time not too long ago, say April 2017, I was in Northern California. I was preparing for a mushroom hunt, my friend and fellow fungal fanatic Steven was going to navigate me to a secret location to find morels. At 7 in the morning, I would wake up and gear up for an exciting journey. 1.5 hours later of driving with Steven on a Friday morning, and I saw vast wilderness. The hunt is on. This wasn't my first forage, but it was my first time hunting for morels. The difficulty in hunting for these little guys are, if you were to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is easy peasy lemon squeezy and 10 is what the bloody hell, where can I find these damn things, I would say 8, a solid 8. Let me preface by saying there was an earlier forage in which I couldn't partake, and many morels were already picked, but a set of new rain the previous couple of days would sprout some more morels, hopefully. Now, I had a housemate in Hanapa, and he used to live in Michigan, where his family picked mushrooms, specifically morels. He warned me about false morels. He also told me about the likelihood of finding morels around pine, and that was a slim chance. Of course, that's Michigan, and we're in California, so maybe there's a difference in the fungal ecology that permits morels to grow. I just know morels prefer slightly more basic soil, and after a fire, morels pop up like no tomorrow. As an aside, I'm not condoning setting fires in California, especially if you see pine trees. Morels are highly valued products and aren't easy to find or grow. Setting fires arbitrarily with hopes of finding morels just doesn't work that way. The statistical odds are slim. Now let me set the scene for you. The trees are everywhere. They're not bundled together though. It's more like they're abundant, but there's enough space for people to walk around. Some trees have fallen, while others have seemed to be cut down. The ground is full of weeds, rock, tan bark, and pine cones. Some broken pine cone bits or rocks from a distance gave me a false hope of finding morels. So many false encounters. Steven found the first morel, and I analyzed the surroundings. These tricky little guys camouflage so well. I'm also bad at Where's Waldo, which doesn't help. But of course, finding one morel means there's a cluster nearby. I find the cluster comes in at most in a set of three. As we progress through our hunt, finding more and more morels, we stumble upon a waterfront and sparser trees. I looked up to find myself alone. I parted from my friend as my head was kept down low looking for morels, until apparently we split off. Well, I had an hour to kill, so I decided to double back looking for morels on my own. I found bones of a dead animal. The oblong jawbone makes me think it's a deer. I don't even know if deer is in the area. But after collecting 12 or so morels, I began to circle back to my car in hopes of finding more morels. I shouldn't have kept too tight of a time record, but I did. I didn't find any morels for 25 minutes, and desperation set into motion. 12 mushrooms? I drove all this way for 12 morels? I mean, am I just bad at finding morels? Just as the 30-minute mark hit, I started to hike my way back up to higher ground to find Steven, when I saw them. One morel, then two more, and another little one further away. In moments like these, I felt like crying, but I didn't, and collected the morels. With no more luck, I ended up where I started, and heard the whistling of Steven. Meeting up with him, we compared our spoils. I disappointed him, so he took me to where he was, so we could just increase my inventory to about 22. Yep, 22 morels. Thank goodness I've got friendly fungal friends, yeah. Looking back, finding 22 morels for the first hunt is pretty awesome. I sometimes say a mushroom hunt that failed is just a hike, and I should believe that more often. Fast forward that April day, early evening, and I was already cooking. Mushrooms don't last too long, and most end up dried as a means for preservation. Oh, in order to preserve mushrooms in other ways, you pickle them or grind them into a powder after you dehydrate them and add them to salt blends. Always a nice touch. Anyway, the most common preparation for morels is to cook in butter. Can't go wrong with butter. I did two separate preparations though. One in butter and one in oil. The oil just because my parents are lactose intolerant, and when I cook these dishes, I would like to show some love back to my parents and from all those times and days of eating mushrooms when I was a child. Cook them in butter, add some red wine vinegar infused with garlic and green onions, or cook them in oil with some soy sauce, same red vinegar infusion, and yeah, you've got a pretty good solid meal. Well, not a full meal, but a good enough meal for me at least. The common three pillars of cooking referenced are fat, acid, and salt. These dishes are cooked in pretty much that same way. Morels are cooked in the same some sort of fat, be it butter or oil. The acid comes from the vinegar, and the salt comes from the soy sauce. I later added a few drops of soy sauce to the buttered morels. And let me tell you, the simplicity of the dish sent me to my happy place. Of course, I brought the mushrooms over to my last D&D or Dungeons & Dragons sessions as I was moving out of Napa that weekend. You would think I would geek out about mushrooms alone, but no. I geek out on many different things. You'll later learn. The group were rationed out, one morel per member. Any extras were eaten by me, yours truly. Any morels that I didn't bring to the D&D group was brought back home to my parents to try. I can only hope I end up finding the right PhD program that allows me to study mushrooms. But until then, my mushroom tattoo of a morel can wait. The morels of this story allowed me some reflection. As I struggle with my inner demons and shortcomings in life, I found that my happy place goes back to the topic of mushrooms. I use mushrooms more liberally when I should be saying fungi, because Whittier and truffles are not the same anatomical parts that a mushroom consists of. But I try not to be too pedantic about these things. Morels gave me hope in times of desperation, much like when I was giving up during that hunt in April of 2017. Morels gave me something to look forward to. And at the end of the day, it's the journey, the whole journey of finding these morels that was worthwhile in of itself. Such is life. Sincerely, Brian Chow. P.S. Chow Time is produced and edited by Brian Chow. Logo design was done by Shara Spoon. Music was produced by JD Gonzalez. If you liked bits and pieces of this podcast and would like to support Chow Time, please visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/chowtimes. Follow me on Instagram at thisischowtime. Follow and give me a tweet on what you like or didn't like at Chow Times. And check out my website at www.chow-time.com. You can listen to Chow Time every week through wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.